This is Hash Right Up. My name is Jesse. Welcome back. Another show, another week. And today I'm speaking to Marco Tarman of NiceHash, a company that I've been wanting to cover for a longer while now. They have recently been starting to talk about their real-time FPPS pool approach, which is something that I wanted to know more about. I hope you enjoy the show. Leave a like and a follow. You know how it works. Enjoy.
My name is Marco. I'm based in Slovenia. For all of you guys that don't know where that is, that's between Italy, Austria, and Croatia. I've been mining since 2012. Started with a couple of GPUs. I saw there's some money that could be made with my computer, and then I started off. Me and my brother manage a 200 kilowatt mining farm here in Slovenia with GPUs. It was like a few, this is, I think, 600 or 800 GPUs, the NVIDIA ones, the mining specific GPUs. And that's where I learned a lot about mining, a lot of, I had my hands on the GPUs. I had to switch the risers and all that stuff. And I basically became an electrician also. So then in 2018, I joined NiceHash, and I've been with NiceHash since then.
That's very straightforward. There's not a lot of frills there. Why do you think that is? Why didn't you try different companies? I mean, if you've been mining 6 years and then you started doing it professionally, that's late, right? Why did you not start sooner?
So before that, I was professional. I wanted to be a professional hockey player.
Okay.
Actually,
nice.
I made the national team under 20. And at the time, my priority was that. It was not, honestly, it was not Bitcoin. It was not mining. So my goal was to make it to bigger leagues. You know, I played professionally in Slovenian, but it was not... It didn't go as I planned, so then I kind of was forced to do something about it, and that's how I got to NiceHash actually. And funny thing is that the first interview I actually declined. I didn't want to join. I didn't even go to NiceHash interview for the first time.
Wow! What's your favorite NHL team?
LA Kings, probably.
Okay.
There's Angie Kopitar there. He's from the same town. So
nice. Yeah, I got my Blackhawks cap is in the car. cool. Okay. Right. NiceHash. So what do you do at NiceHash, Marco, today?
Today, for the last few years, my position is lead mining manager. I take care of everything that's related to mining. So if that's business development, if that's marketing, if that's product, everything that revolves around mining or selling the hash rate, that's something that I oversee.
There's only, there's NiceHash Pay that I'm aware of, right? But everything else is mining related, right? Do you want to give viewers a bit of an overview what NiceHash offers?
Okay, so NiceHash has been around since 2014, and the core product, that main product, has always been the same. It's been a spot on-demand hash rate marketplace. Essentially, it's a place or a platform where buyers and sellers of hash rate can meet to buy or sell the hash rate. And then we've made a bunch of products around that marketplace. For example, back in the day, we were mostly known for GPU mining. We still have this nice software for GPU mining, which does the profit switching, and it essentially makes GPU mining way easier. Back in 2014, 2015, 16, if you wanted to start mining with your GPUs, you had to download the software, write the commands for the software, and it was quite complicated. Whereas NiceHash solved most of these issues. You simply install the software, copied the code you've got from the website, And there you went. You started mining.
You're talking about
Go
pool
ahead.
hopping, eh? Is that still a thing today? Like, do many people still pool hop and use their hash rate to
No,
mine different coins and
no,
shit?
no. I mean, that's not pool hopping. Pool hopping is a term where miners
Coin
would
hopping, I
switch
guess.
from, and we call it profit switching. We call it profit switching, or maybe a better term would be algorithm switching, with GPUs you can mine different algorithms. So essentially, if you had a GPU, if you have a GPU, you could sell that hash rate, that compute power. It's really nothing more than a compute power. Sorry, that you can sell to someone who's paying you the most. So, for example, there could be Beam hash rate, ETC hash, Kaupo algorithm. All of these algorithms are GPU mineable, and wherever there's the highest price, or on whichever pool algorithm is the highest price, that's where the miners will go. So that's where you will sell the hash rate. And essentially, you will always be selling to the highest paying bidder. And essentially, for that, you will always get paid the most.
But similarly with SHA-256, which Bitcoin runs on, I remember there was a time, I don't know if that's still prevalent today or not, where people would jump between Bitcoin Cash and Bitcoin SV and Bitcoin and mining those, different chains that also run on SHA-256 because you could just apply the same hash rate for them. Is that still something that you see today, or is it mainly Bitcoin now?
So that's the beauty of NiceHash, because as a seller of hash rate, you're just selling the compute power. So an ASIC miner, SHA-256 ASIC miner, is selling SHA-256 compute power. And then the buyer takes all the risks, all the hard work, and they have the leverage to decide where they want to send the hash rate. So a buyer can buy the SHA compute power and send it to a Bitcoin pool, or send it to a Bitcoin Cash pool, or whatever SHA-256 coin there is. So essentially, we've got two-layer profit switching. The first one is on the algorithm. So you're always mining, I mean, yeah, you're always mining the most profitable coin, because the buyers of hash rate, of compute power, are profit oriented, and they will buy the hash rate to sell it at a higher price on another pool. And that could be Bitcoin Cash, you name it.
Whatever, yeah.
And then the second line of profit switching is between algorithms, but this is mostly for GPUs.
And so if, let's say I'm producing 500 petahash, right? And I put it on your platform. Now a buyer comes along and says, okay, I'm going to buy Jesse's 500 petahash for 30 days. How does the hash rate go to where the buyer wants it to go?
So first of all, the buyer doesn't buy your hash rate directly. They just buy the hash rate. Think of it like buying electricity from the grid. You don't know from whom you're buying. And you don't, like, if we would simplify the process of buying the electricity, let's say that you're trying to watch TV at home. And whenever you turn on your TV, you start paying. You have deposited some balance towards the broker of electricity, or to the seller of electricity. And then as you turn on the TV, that balance is being deducted by the price that you're willing to pay, right? So you're willing to pay, I don't know, 20 cents per kilowatt. And if there's no higher bidders for the available electricity, you will be able to watch TV, right? So if your price is not high enough, you will not get that electricity from the grid. So you will either have to increase the price, or you will have to, sorry, can you hear my dog outside?
Yeah, it's fine, don't worry.
No, it's fine. Okay. So you will either have to increase the price of electricity that you're willing to pay, or you won't get the electricity. And the sellers on the other side, there's not just one seller. Maybe you're plugging in a whole factory. Who knows? In that case, you will have to have multiple sellers who will sell to you. But you will not be the one who decides from which power plant you will buy. It's the platform that automatically sends you the electricity.
Okay. I'm
And
gonna
on the
quickly
other side,
go ahead.
On the other side, the sellers are being paid the same no matter to what buyer they're selling. So we take all of the buyers, all of the orders, and average out the period.
Okay, so just so I'm gonna share my screen here. So if you're on audio, go to if you're listening on audio, switch on your screen quickly. So just so that you have an idea, this is basically a buy and sell wall, right?
This is an order book. It's an
Yeah.
order book.
Okay. And you have on the left, you've got EU. Why first of all, why is the region? Why does this matter?
It's just two markets because the latencies are lower.
Okay.
Obviously, if we have US miners, first of all, there's no limits. So a US miner can connect to you. If the latency, we have automated stratum that will automatically find the best location for you. So in some edge cases, US miners are mining to you market because for them that's better because there's lower latency. And the same goes then for a buyer. The buyer needs to have the hash rate the closest as possible to their endpoint. So that's one of the reasons here. Obviously, there's also the load balancing, all that stuff, but that's more technical.
Okay, so if I go now, let's say USA West, there's now currently, let's just
Okay, just change to ASIC boost algorithm.
basic
It's not that, so go up,
boost.
go up to the top.
Ah, there you go. Okay. Oh,
This will
wow.
be the
Okay,
correct
so there's
one.
2.46 exahash versus 2.73 exahash available that is being produced in either EU or USA, and that's being sent to this platform to be up for sale basically while it's still hashing.
So you cannot have idle hash rate on iSwitch. There's always buyers. So it's like a fluent platform. You cannot send the hash rate on iSwitch and nothing will happen with it. If you scroll down on the order book, you will see orders that are waiting to be fulfilled. Like on the one on the fourth line,
Price minus, yeah.
on the miner, you will see how many miners are connected to that order approximately. So if you go down, if you can scroll down a little bit, you will start seeing zeros.
Yeah,
Here you
okay.
go. And all of these orders in the order book are waiting to be fulfilled. So these are unactive orders. The buyers are waiting for the hash rate. And these orders are going to get fulfilled if the price of the hash will be high enough. It will be set high enough by the buyers.
Okay. So let's do one thing quickly. I want to quickly go over. So this is Bitcoin hash price index. Right now on Luxor, a petahash per day is 50,000 sats, right? 50,285.
Okay, yeah.
So I would imagine this is similar, right?
So, yeah, you've got the period, or sorry, paying, I think, if you go back on top. The second line is the price unit. And it's essentially the same as hash price. So Bitcoins per exahash per day on Luxor hash price index, I think it's Bitcoins per tera hash per day.
Yeah,
So
you can
it's,
switch.
yeah. So basically, it's 0.5365 bitcoins per X hash per day, the highest paying order. And that would be, you said, 0.5 bitcoins per
Yeah, there's a
X
slight,
hash
of
per
course, there's
day
a
on
slight
Luxor.
difference, you know.
I mean, that's a big difference. That's what? That's 6% difference.
Yeah. Well, you have to, and if you want to make use of that spread, you have to be able to sell the hash rate at the hash price as well, right? So I guess there's
Or
always.
so. Some buyers are willing to pay premium for the hash rate, for the on-demand hash rate. Keep in mind that it's the only place that you can get so total of more than 5 exahashes in a matter of seconds and send it wherever you want, if you're willing to pay high enough, if you're willing to outbid other buyers.
Okay. Now, Margo, I haven't understood this. So if I'm a miner, right, and I want to use this, I make an account and then explain to me again how I put hash rate up for sale and what then happens when it's bought.
So the user experience is identical to mining to any other pool. We've got the Stratum endpoint, we've got the worker name, and we've got the password. And we give this information to you. just as on any other pool, right? So you've got the nicehash.com pool, you've got the worker name, and you've got the password. You put that into your ASIC, and that's it.
All right.
It's really that simple. Because our system takes care of sending your hash to the next buyer in line.
Okay.
In the order book.
All right. Understood. So nothing changes for me as a miner. Now I'm the buyer, right? I'm coming to the platform. Yes. I want to buy the hash rate. Now I make an account again. I deposit cash or whatever, or I buy the hash rate. And then what happens on the buyer end?
Okay. So as a buyer, you first have to deposit Bitcoins, because the medium of exchange on NiceHash is only Bitcoin, no matter what algorithm you're buying.
Okay.
You saw before there's Script, there's Key Heavy Hash. Mm-hmm. All of these algorithms are supported. And there are buyers placing orders for all of these algorithms. But they have to pay in Bitcoin. So for many people, that's an advantage. As a seller, if you're getting paid in Bitcoin, but mining, for example, or selling Key Heavy Hash algorithm. Mm-hmm. Essentially, instead of getting paid in Caspa or Litecoin, Dogecoin, you're getting paid in Bitcoin. And at the same time, these buyers are doing profit switching between so many other shitcoins. But you're always getting paid in Bitcoin. And they will find shitcoins that are more profitable than Caspa. Okay. They will find shitcoins that are more profitable to mine than Litecoin and Dogecoin with merge mining. You know, but they will have to pay you in Bitcoin.
This episode is sponsored by Hashbranch, the easiest way to mine Bitcoin in the US. Sourcing hardware and rack space usually is a mess. Bad deal structures, misaligned incentives, and no visibility after deployment. I have placed tens of thousands of ASICs in partnership with Hashbranch. What I like most is that they cut through the noise. Fair pricing, aligned terms, and access to hosting that actually works. Use code HASHRATEUP100, visit hashbranch.com today to get $100 off of each miner that you order. And so when I buy the hash rate here, let's say I'm buying 100 petahash for 30 days again, right?
There's no time limits.
Okay, let's say I'm buying 100 petahash until what? Until my Bitcoin balance is depleted?
Yes.
Okay.
Or you are outbidded.
Okay. And then, so I'm going on the platform. All right, it's starting to click. Now I'm setting a price for which I want to buy the hash rate, and then it gets filled as it is available.
Yes.
Okay.
Exactly.
Until my balance is depleted.
Or you're outbidded.
Okay.
Or someone else sets a higher price or actually sets a higher limit of hash that they want. Mm-hmm. Because someone can just say, you know, here the highest paying order can just say, okay, now I want 2.5 exahashes. I'm going to buy it all.
Okay. And then,
All of the orders below that will stop receiving hash. And yeah, just to give you the whole process, because I'm seeing what you're trying to ask. So you're setting up, you're depositing Bitcoins to NiceHash.
Yeah.
Then you decide where you want to send the hash. You first have to input a pool.
Okay.
So for example, that would be, you decide, okay, end pool, you input their endpoint. You input your worker name that you receive from the end pool. You set the password, whatever you want. It could be a difficulty or just X. Mm-hmm. Then you save that pool. And then when you're trying to set up an order, you come to this order book, and then you will see that pool already added into the, let's say, a template or like a pre-filled drop-down field. So you select that pool. Mm-hmm. Then you have an ability or option to set the price that you're willing to pay, the amount of Bitcoins you want to spend, and how much hash rate you want to receive.
Okay.
And based on all of these three data, we can calculate the approximate length of the order.
All right.
But it is not fixed, because first of all, you don't know if you will get the hash rate at all, or you will get the 100% of the hash rate, because you can also get just 50% of the desired hash if you're the last in line.
It goes by price first. Right, so you set a price and if
first,
there's
yes.
anything available for that price, it starts mining to that worker name that you set and deducts from your balance.
Yes, and like the main rule of NiceHash is that the highest paying buyers have the priority for the available hash rate.
The highest paying buyers have the availability for the hash rate. to increase and maximize the payouts for the miner or what?
No. If you're a buyer, you will get a hash rate if you're paying the most, if you're willing to pay the most, if you're bidding the most. So the main rule is that if your bid is the highest, you will get a hash rate. Of course, if there's available hash rate. So the highest bidding orders have the priority for the hash rate.
Yeah, I mean that makes sense, right? Why would
Yeah, of
on
course.
an open marketplace, if you have somebody who sells apples, right? Why would they sell the apple to someone who doesn't pay as much as the next guy first, right?
Yeah, but
I mean that's how price
that
is
makes
set.
sense, of course.
Yeah.
That's what creates an online economy. That's the basis of supply and demand.
Yeah,
And
exactly.
that's what NiceHash is. Yes.
Okay, that's I mean when I first was thinking about this, I have like my presumption was that the complexity is on the miner side, but it's not. The complexity is on the buyer side. Okay, so there's basically just, I don't know, a stream of apples coming and the highest bidder gets it, and then you go down the line, and if I'm the buyer and I've in my bid gets filled, basically then the hash rate goes to whatever pool I choose. So one example could be, hey, I know what the payouts currently are on Ocean Pool, right? So now I'm gonna set my Ocean Pool account, my wallet address, and whatever, and then I'm just gonna set a price, and whenever there's anything available for that price, it'll automatically go to that pool account, and we're off to the races.
A very simple case of arbitrage buying, yes. Trading, arbitrage trading. Yeah. Buy low, sell high.
Okay.
That's the most typical example of a buyer that tries to make a profit.
And how, what benefits does it have for me as the miner, right? What increased payouts do you see, I guess, in the FPPS landscape versus other pools?
So before you were mentioning Luxor Hash Price Index, you said it's about 0.5 bitcoins per exahash per day. And on NiceHash, it's about 3% higher on average, from 2 to 3% for the. I've been measuring it from May onward. And yeah, the average is about 2 to 3%. Of course, there are some days when it's 0.5% lower. But on average, for the past period, past almost 2 months now, the period was about 3% higher. And that's the benefit. The benefit comes from the buy side, of course, because the buyers, they want that ability to buy hash rate without and use the hash rate without owning the hardware. So there's no hardware risk, there's no electricity cost, there's no infrastructure, there's nothing. You simply click a button and you get one exahash. And then you can start to play around with that hash rate, right? So you could start do solo mining. Just a few weeks back, there was a guy that hit a block on CK pool.
Nice.
And that hash rate was bought through NiceHash, right?
What I find so cool about this, first of all, this is probably way more accurate when it comes to hash price
Exactly.
than Luxor is, right? Because this is where buying and selling takes place, and it's a very transparent method of figuring out what the current price for hash rate is. It's not what the pool
it's
says, it's whatever the last buyer put on the table.
exactly.
Right.
Yeah. So this is spot price. It's a spot price of hash rate that's being sold right now. So normally you've got hash price that's the hash price is set by the pools, not and not actually, actually on the first level, it's set by the blockchain. So is the difficulty, so what's the competition in the network versus the block reward. That's how the hash price is set, and it's changed every 2 weeks, and that's it. There's always a buyer, but that buyer is paying exact same price for everyone. Until NiceHash emerged, there was only one buyer for the hash rate.
It
Right now, NiceHash is a secondary market for spot hash rate. It's the only place where you can actually see how much hash rate is worth to a human being, right? Not to a network.
Yeah, because it's whatever subjective value the market puts into the hash rate and where it can use it. I guess there's always a bidder or a decentralized oracle, right? That'll say, look, this is what the blocks are paying out in fees. This is what the block subsidy is. So this is what the Bitcoin network pays out to miners, right?
Yes.
And now the market can use that as a baseline. And the more volume you have, the more accurate it will be to average hash rate, just like any other market, right? So, Marco, do you have more demand or more supply, would you say? Well, what's the shortage?
We have more demand. There's way more buyers. Like, internally, it's like whenever there's a newcomer that comes to the company, we say that technically, two buyers are enough. If there are two buyers, they will beat against each other until they reach that break-even point with maybe a percentage under FPS, because they will still make money, you know, and they will find ways to optimize that revenue.
Okay.
These are really smart people. And if they have deep pockets, they can turn around a lot of Bitcoins per day.
Now, this is,
you know,
this is actually going.
So,
go ahead. Sorry.
If there's 10 exahashes available,
yeah,
a buyer with 5 Bitcoins can turn around 10 exahashes per day.
Mm-hmm.
So, 5 Bitcoins is not that much. Speaking from,
to you, maybe.
It is, but no. I'm speaking from.
I hear you. I know what you mean. From volume, total volume, you know, competition.
Total volume is not that huge.
Yeah, I hear you. I understand.
If we go to 50 exahashes, it's only 25 Bitcoins to turn around, and if you got 5 buyers.
Yeah, no, I hear you. So to make this more clear, Marco, this is either going to be a very good question or a very dumb question. What if there's no buyer at all? How do you price what you pay out your miners? Yes,
we don't price it. Then I will start buying at 99% discount.
No, I understand. But let's say the marketplace, I don't know, something breaks, and for the next hour there is no buyer available, or nobody that takes the hash rate and sends it to their own worker.
I mean,
what's your baseline? Like, what's your fail safe price
buyers,
that you pay out?
The buyers. If there's no buyers, there's no
payout.
There's no payout. The same question could be asked if the platform goes down. If a pool goes down, there's no payouts, right?
Okay. Fair enough. But this makes it more clear for me now, right? If so, you're saying if there is no buyer, there's no payout. So that's where the revenue comes from. If there's no money on the table, nothing goes around, and the hash rate mines for no reward.
It doesn't mine. No, it doesn't mine. The ASIC stop.
Because it can't go anywhere. Right. Because it doesn't have an endpoint.
They don't get the job.
Yeah.
They don't, you know how the pools send jobs?
Yes.
So if there's no jobs stream towards the miner, then the miner can't do anything.
Okay.
They will switch to the backup pool. So most miners already have backup pools. That's why there's backup pools in the ASIC configuration.
So NiceHash without a backup pool would not be a good idea. Any pool without a backup
pool. Any pool. Exactly. But it hasn't happened since any day. Like maybe in the early days when there was like really small amounts going on, but since then it hasn't happened for like, I can say, 10 years probably.
Okay, so this is
around for like 11 years.
This is very good. Now I'm starting to understand. So basically, what I'm conceptualizing, and again, you tell me, no worries, if this is wrong or not. The miners mine to NiceHash, and NiceHash is now, to the miner is like a mix of all different pools together. Whatever the buyers are setting for their worker names, that's actually where the hash rate ends up going. Okay.
It's the ultimate decentralization platform for the hash rate.
Yeah, I had this discussion with our friend Sunil. And I was saying to him about that piece, and now that you bring that up, I want to get into that. So, you say it's the ultimate decentralization, but if 95% of the buyers enter Ant pool for their worker name and their pool choice, then we're not really adding to the decentralization solution.
Means that the buyers will only sell the hash rate to places if they feel comfortable about the platform, first of all, and if they can make money. So if there's going to be a pool that pays the most, the buyer is going to find it and send the hash rate to that pool. And that's one of the reasons. And the other one is that there's always different pools that are being the hash is being sent to. So even in this case, I don't see that happening.
Okay, I have a follow-up question. Attack vector. Again, potentially very dumb question, maybe a good one. I'm a government and I have access to unlimited funding. Now, I'm gonna make a pool that very transparently advertises that they pay out more on average than other pools. And a lot of people go there now and say, look, I'm going to buy the hash rate and just send it there. I'm going to buy it on NiceHash. Is that a problem potentially or no?
Technically, it could happen, but at the same time, a gun can be used to attack or defense. Right? So in this case, a network could also be defended by setting a higher orders, right? That's one thing. And the other thing is that in the past, we've had about 30 to 40% of Ethereum hash rate flowing through NiceHash. So on the peak, there was, like I said, 30 to 40% of all of the Ethereum hash rate flowing through NiceHash. And we, I'm not sure if the policy is the right word, but we don't want to go over that percentage of hash rate, never. And we never have went over that percentage, especially not on Bitcoin. Like you can imagine on go proxying 30 to 40% hash rate. That's a huge amount. We have what, 1% now?
No, I hear you. It's fun to conceptualize these things also for me and the audience to understand it better.
Course, of course.
Okay, so a couple more questions.
But by the way,
Go ahead.
just one thing. All of the buyers, actually all of the users are KYC'd. So for someone to do something malicious, as a buyer, I wouldn't do that. Our compliance team is very strict when it comes to this kind of stuff. So there's another, let's say, a roadblock for doing something malicious.
Yeah, I guess it's, what I was mentioning, it's not really malicious. It's just paying more than what the market says the price is, and then trying to sort of attract hash rate through that. But as you said, it can be used both ways. And at the end, it's probably, game theory wise, way more attractive to spend the money and hold it yourself than try to attack the network like that. Before we run out of time, Margaret, why do you have more demand than supply? What is missing to sell this to more miners to increase the supply on the platform?
Very good question. A lot of miners we're seeing right now are somehow involved into different kind of loans or future contracts. And obviously these guys cannot switch the pools at all. So that's one of the reasons. The other reason I would say from what I've been in the industry is that there's a lot of competition. There's a lot of, aggressive tactics by other pools. For example, a hosting provider, or let's say a pool has 4% fees by default, right? And they can offer a very high kickback for a hosting provider to send the hash rate to their pool. So a hosting provider will get 3% of the volume from their hosting client if they send the hash rate to whatever pool there is. And the pool will make 1%. But they can give that 3% to the hosting provider because they have the control over where the hash rate goes.
You're talking about our Russian friends, eh?
I'm not joking about anyone, but like I'm just saying that sometimes hosting providers have direct or indirect influence of where the hash rate goes.
Mm-hmm.
And for what I've been following the industry, right now, the majority of miners still mining are the institutional miners who need the regulation, who need the SOC,
mm-hmm.
the SOC, and there's the hosting providers for retail. There's not a lot of smaller miners or like medium-sized farms that still go on that are not institutions or that are not like already a company that require all this legislation, all that stuff. And by the way, that's why we moved to Switzerland, actually, because we see the future of mining to be institutionalized. We see it to be where the KYC will not be a problem for the bigger players. Of course, there will be people who don't want to do KYC, and there are platforms that offer KYC-less solutions.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, NICE has decided to do the hard way, to do the correct way. And not sure if I answered your first question.
HashRedUp is sponsored by solomining.de, the place to buy open source home and solo mining devices like the BitX. With about 20 watts of usage, these solo mining devices are perfect to play the lottery from home or from the office. Get 5% off with the code HashRedUp. Thanks to the legends at solomining.de for sponsoring the content. No, I mean, it's about, look, we said before the show, right? So this started as a retail product. And as you said, there's way more demand than there's supply. So the question is, how do you get the institutionalized big miners to send their hash rate there, try it out? I mean, you know, you can get any private or public miner and say, look, try it out with an exahash, see what the returns are. And that exahash is going to, you know, increase your supply by like, what, 25%? So the question really is, like, how do you make this less of a retail product or less than of a sort of small investor looking for margin, looking for to capture the spread product, to really getting the mega miners behind it and using it?
Yeah, like I said, we moved the company to Switzerland, and our legal team says that we can argue that we are the most regulated hash rate platform out there.
Mm-hmm.
So even if a pool has a SOC 2, it's probably not as well regulated as NiceHash is right now.
Okay.
So we've got the full anti-money laundering, all the travel rule stuff, KYC, mandatory KYC, all that kind of stuff. I strongly believe it will be worth a lot because we started this early.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a matter of time when other pools will also have to implement mandatory KYC. I joke that if there's a CEO that's willing to put on their landing page that sanctioned countries are welcome, I challenge them to do that. Like, a normal CEO will not do that, otherwise they will go to jail. Because without KYC, you could be getting hash rate from Russia, from Iran, from North Korea.
Yeah, no, I mean, it definitely is, of course, a way to, I mean, launder money. I mean, a lot of people don't have access to Bitcoin. You know, a lot of people, like, let's say on the continent that I'm on, in Africa, like, they don't have, if you're wealthy in Africa, and you have no financial rails, then this is a great way to acquire Bitcoin, is buying hash rate. But if there's no exchange or whatever that has the volume or the prices are really bad. I mean, it starts on my level already. Sometimes when you look at the liquidity on some of these South African exchanges, they're just abysmal, right? And when you see the prices that you could be paying versus what you have to pay, it's a bit painful. Again, this was a great conversation already, Marco, and we're running out of time. I thought that
I have no time limits
No,
if
I
it's up
need
to
to
you.
keep this to like 45 because otherwise,
Okay.
the short attention spans around the world.
Nice.
So I was just thinking, and I wonder if you agree, and I want to just briefly touch on real-time FPPS also, and how this is connected. If realistically, I'm asking, hey, how can you increase the supply on the platform? But if you just manage to keep growing the demand, right, in theory, that should keep elevating the price. And automatically, then, if the price goes up with all the demand that comes on board, then also the supply should increase, right? Because the incentive to send hash rate to NiceHash becomes bigger because the payouts then get bigger, right? Because the price on the platform goes up.
Yes. So there's multiple factors, right? The first one is the marketing. How bold are we to claim that the pay rates will always be higher? That's the first thing. So there's always fluctuations because we cannot promise higher pay rates because it's not up to us. We're just a platform where the buyers and sellers can meet. We do show past data, but as you know, it's supply and demand based. Then I lost my
Okay, let me try and pick it up for you again. So
yeah.
if I'm a miner, do I need to KYC to send hash rate to the
Yes.
platform? Okay.
Yes.
All right.
That could be a problem for a few miners. Yes, definitely.
Yeah, it might just be a hassle. I mean, lots of big miners are already very well KYC'd,
I mean, if you open a bank account, you need to show some papers, right?
yeah.
So.
Okay. And talk to me, Marco, about real-time FPPS. This is what I actually wanted to talk to you about. What is real-time FPPS and how is it connected to this, if at all?
So I explained the whole marketplace before. Essentially, it's the buyers that are bidding in real time. So as we speak, the buyer is increasing or lowering the price for the hash price, for the hash rate. So that's where the real time comes from. PPS means it's pay per share because the price is valued pay per share. So how much each share is worth, right? Before, like a few years back, we only said we have PPS. But then we've had miners asking us, why it's PPS, why there's no block reward, why there's no sorry, transaction rewards in the payout. Then we've always had to explain it's PPS, it means pay per share, and the price is set by the buyers in real time. So we have to come up with something new, which is real time pay per share, because the value of the share, it's being set in each and every probably second as we speak,
Okay.
as I said before.
All right.
Does that answer your question?
Yes, it does. No,
With FPS, a miner is getting paid whatever the pool is calculating.
Okay.
So the pool is the one that does the calculation for the miner. It's not actually the blockchain.
Yeah.
It's the pool who owns the formula in their hands,
Yeah.
right? So the pool could simply say, I want to skip the three top or five highest paying blocks and the five lowest ones, or just cut me out the 10 highest ones and one lowest one. Or, they can do different kind of stuff in their advantage,
Okay.
or maybe they're fair, or maybe they are fair and do the job as they should. But again, even if they try to do it correctly, it will never be as if I was a solo mining hitting all the blocks.
Yeah.
On our side, the buyers are the ones that are setting the price, and it's very transparent. You can see all the orders on the buy side, and you can calculate the pay rate for the sell side. there's no way to cheat that system.
Okay. Yeah, it's you know, when you think about it for a long time, it seems a lot simpler than it is, but you see from the conversation we've had, there's a lot of details to sort of get into. I could now go on about, you know, yes, the price is really set by the buyers, but the buyers have to sell the hash rate to any of the other FPPS pools out there. And so
not necessary. They can sell it to any pool. They can sell it to Solo pool, to PPLNS pool. They can use it even for other stuff.
But what's
even
the reality, Marco? What reality do you see? How much of the hash rate that is bought today is sent to an FPPS pool versus an alternative to that?
So
PPLNS or Ocean or Solo, how much of that is?
I would say the majority is, from my understanding, majority is Solo mining.
Really?
And yes, and FPPS pools that do have good payouts.
Okay, so exactly. So then, all right. I didn't expect a lot of that to be Solo mining. That's a that's an expensive lottery ticket, man.
I mean, we have Easy Mining product that's where you can buy a package of hash rate. Mm-hmm. For $5 or up to like $500 or $8, something.
Okay.
Depends on the price of Bitcoin. But that's the lowest amount of money you've got to spend to start Solo mining.
All right. Yeah.
And you can get the whole block. And we've got like 175 blocks, Bitcoin blocks confirmed in the last 2 years, I think. So it's not nothing.
It's definitely something I need to look more into. I don't know why it hasn't been really on my radar until.
It's a very nice product for you know, getting your toes wet. In the mining.
Yeah.
Because you do get the full block reward if you hit a block.
Marco, it's been great. I could talk to you for hours. I have so many more questions. You definitely have to come back. For now,
I'd be glad.
I think, you know, also the audience will have tons of questions. Please don't hesitate to ask them if you end up this episode with more questions than answers. And so, yeah, I just want to give you, Marco, another shout out for coming on and spending your time. Please let me know where people can find you. Give NiceHash a bit more of a shill at the end here.
So I personally am mostly active on LinkedIn and lately a little bit more on X. So they can find me there or through the company email, which is info@nicehash.com or maybe farm@nicehash.com. But as a company, we're present in the majority of social media. The best way to reach out to someone at the company is probably through our support. Or info@nicehash.com. But again, I'm also available on LinkedIn for anyone to message me directly.
Awesome. This is going to be probably out in maybe 4 weeks. Where can people go to find you in person? Which conferences are you guys planning for this year still?
We don't have any plans for this year at the moment. Nothing major.
All right, just Vegas.
We were at Vegas. My colleagues went to Prague. We went to a couple of others, Mining Disrupt. Mm-hmm. But that will be all for this year, probably.
Okay.
We're trying to do some, you know, catching up with the existing contacts that we have.
Nice. All right, guys. If you learned anything new, I know I have. Please, you know how this works. Follows, likes, I need all the engagement I can get here because I also want to enter into a conversation and get more info and knowledge out of it for everyone through that. So yeah, again, thank you so much, Marco, for coming on and I hope to see you soon. Cheers.
Thank you for having me.
Bye.